Welcome to Word of Life with Pastor Richard Shork of Calvary Chapel, Monrovia.
We recognize that He doesn't always come through miraculously. Oh, but sometimes He does. Sometimes He does. That's been my experience. And so I pray. I pray and give God opportunity to answer. I give God opportunity to work. I invite Him to work. And it says they're praying earnestly, fervently. God, deliver him. We know the situation is impossible, but nothing is impossible with you. God, could it be that you could deliver Peter?
Everyone loves a good testimony of God coming through. We read incredible stories in the Bible where God comes through and saves His people, or someone gets healed, delivered, or saved. However, there are times when we stay in the trial a little longer than we'd like to. In these moments, we lean closer to God. In today's message, Pastor Richard will be sharing about how we can contend for God to move in impossible situations. Now here's Pastor Richard in the book of Acts chapter 12 with today's edition of Word of Life.
Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought it was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter is awoken by this angel. Interesting, he's possibly facing execution. He's sound asleep between two of the Roman centurions. It seems that God gave him a sense of peace. Some speculate, well, maybe Peter's faith was so strong because Jesus had told him, when you are older is when you will give your life for me. And Peter wasn't that old, so he's thinking, well, I got time. No matter what happens, Jesus promised that I'm going to be living older before I go. Don't know that for sure. Maybe that's why he was peacefully sleeping. Maybe Peter was just a good sleeper. And because it seems like the angel has to like get him up and wake him up and get your shoes on. Let's go. We're leaving. But on his way out, he comes to his senses and he realizes, my God, a miracle has just happened. God has delivered me. And as soon as he's out on the street, he realizes the guards didn't notice yet. So he goes to where he knows there will be a prayer meeting. He goes to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark. Many think that this may have been the place where Jesus had the upper room, the Last Supper. Quite possibly. Apparently they had a home. It was large. They were a wealthy family and they held and hosted prayer meetings and many occurrences of the early church. And Peter goes where he knows they'll be gathered. John Mark, he's the author of the Gospel of Mark. He's the one that we'll see more of in the book of Acts. But this is the setting. And my second exhortation to you is this. Listen, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Again, the circumstances are beyond help, beyond hope. You've all had those kinds of circumstances where you say to yourself, all I can do now is pray, and I know that won't work, but it's all I have, so I'll do that, right? Be honest. We've all prayed, and maybe you're in a trial and a situation right now. All you have is prayer. This is beyond any human resource. There's no political power that can undo this. There's no financial reach that can deliver Peter. The Christians are all basically a small group that are outcasts, and the political forces of the day are against them. They have no real power or standing in the community, in the culture, in the world, in their own nation. Sound like anything that's happening in your neck of the woods? Christians being diminished and being set aside from the public square, outcast, persecuted, resisted. They have no power. Oh, but they have the most power. They have the power of the Most High God. They pray to the God of the universe. They pray to the God that looks across the world and looks at the kings and their plans, and he laughs, says the Psalms. In comparison to the power of God, who was the underdog in this story? Herod. Herod's the poor fool that's getting ready to find out you can't fight God and prosper. So prayer and believing that really God can do anything. Now, we recognize that he doesn't always come through miraculously. Well, but sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. That's been my experience. And so I pray. I pray and give God opportunity to answer. I give God opportunity to work. I invite him to work. And it says they're praying earnestly, fervently. God, deliver him. We know the situation is impossible, but nothing is impossible with you. God, could it be that you could deliver Peter, or that you would use him even in his death, somehow that he would witness, somehow that the kingdom would be advanced, this praying church inviting God to work? What is it that you want God to do? What would you like to see God do in your life personally? What would you like to see God do in your generation, in your family, in our time? What would you like to see God do in this church? Are you asking? Are you praying? Well, I can tell you, I want to see the Lord work. You know, I was at a pastor's conference. This was years ago. Pastor Chuck was still alive and there at the conference. One of the young pastors got up and gave a message to the pastors, and there were hundreds and hundreds of us there. And he looked to Pastor Chuck and he said, "Pastor Chuck, I just want to thank you for the stories of what God did in birthing the Calvary Chapel movement, and just miraculous things. How God took this little church of 35, 40 people, blew it up to many thousands, and thousands of churches that have been spawned and planted out of that ministry. A true Jesus movement, a true revival, a spiritual awakening." And this young pastor said, "I want to thank you for leading such an awesome work." But he said, "You know what, Pastor Chuck," and he said it respectfully, "it's not enough. I want to see my story. I want to see my generation experience the things that I have only heard about now as a young man. I want to see God move in my generation. I want to see God bring a spiritual awakening in our time. How about you?" Listen, I don't know what God's going to do. But I'm willing to pray and ask God to work. Pour out your spirit, Lord. We need revival. We need spiritual awakening. We need the churches to be full and thriving. We need God's word to be taught and alive in the heart of his people. Boy, I'd like to see this place just overflowing. And this is not some personal ambition. My church, our church, all churches that are teaching God's word, I want to see God. I want to see a Jesus movement. I would love to see that. And I'm not saying that just to hype it. I'm saying that because I believe that God can do it. Now, I don't know if he will. I don't know. You know, the Bible talks about perilous times, men's hearts getting hard, ears wanting to be tickled. I don't know what we'll see. But I know that I want to see it. And I want to see the Lord pouring out his spirit. I want to see your families thriving spiritually. I want to see your marriages strong. I want to see God bringing in friends and co-workers and the gospel going out. I'd love to see a last day's harvest and that we could be some part of that. Let's pray. Let's ask God to do it. Ask the impossible. Get Peter out of jail. No, they're praying. Well, let's take a look. Verse 13, Peter arrives at the prayer meeting. This is comical, really. I mean, you have to see the humor in this. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is an angel. It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James." That would have been James, the brother of Jesus, different than James, the brother of John, "and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Well, what a prayer meeting this is. We're praying fervently, earnestly, asking God to deliver Peter. Peter's at the front door. No, he's not. Go, leave us alone. We're praying. We have to be honest. Their faith was lacking. Their expectancy was at least lacking. Now, I'm going to say it takes some degree of faith just to pray. And I regard that in these believers. And I can relate to this. How about you? Sometimes that's all the faith I can muster. Lord, I know that I should pray. I don't know how you're going to work it out. It seems too remote of a possibility. The circumstances certainly don't indicate that there is any answer to this. And my faith is not really waiting and believing God's going to do it. But my faith is, but God, you can do it. And I can pray. And so that's, I think, where these disciples were. They weren't praying with the type of expectancy that they should have, that God was actually doing this. But they at least had the faith to pray, knowing that only God could do this.
We'll have more from today's message in just a moment. But right now, we want to invite you to subscribe to the Word of Life podcast. Just search for Word of Life on your favorite podcast app and feel free to share with your friends and family. This podcast is a blessing to you. Leave us a comment as well. We love hearing from our listeners. Now, let's get back to Pastor Richard's study.
And so there's somewhere in between the faith to pray, but not enough faith to expect God's answer miraculously to the prayer. And I would just encourage you today, don't be surprised when God answers prayer. Don't be reluctant to believe that God answers prayer. You know, some people, that God, they pray, and it seems that God answers, and then they don't believe that it was God. No, that could have just happened. That could have just been a coincidence. Isn't that what you prayed? Yeah, but I read this in my commentary. One writer said, you know, it seems that when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't happen. Expect God to work. Expect God to come through. He's faithful. Now, as I mentioned, we're always submitted to his will, and we don't understand the full measure of his will, his wisdom, but we know that he loves us. We know that he's good. We know that he's for us. You know you're not alone. You know he's invited you to come and make requests of him. The God of all creation says, come, talk to me, share with me, ask me, see what I will do. Check in with my will. It could be that I want to work and waiting for you to ask. That's the situation here. God was ready to get Peter out of that prison and just waiting on the church to pray and to make their request. The power of a praying church, the power of a praying believer, the power of a praying mom, the power of a praying grandpa, the power of a son, the power of prayer, connecting, and don't be surprised. When he answers, don't act as though it couldn't have happened. It's kind of funny, right? Peter can be broken out of a Roman prison, but he can't break into a prayer meeting. God just, you know, is this something not happening? And it's kind of struck me as funny too. They had the faith to believe that maybe an angel was at the front door. It's got to be his angel. It's got to be some spiritual, you know, crazy thing. But it can't just be Peter. It can't just be God. Working, and for them must have been, it was miraculous, but it was also too natural for Peter to actually be at the front door. But he was, and God was working, and God still works. God hasn't changed. You've got to invite him in. You've got to make your requests. You've got to earnestly, fervently stretch to the Lord and bring him and his counsel and his love and his grace into your situation. Well, take a look now back to our story, verse 18. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. What a sweetheart this Herod is, huh? And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Kill those guys. I'm going to the beach, Caesarea. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So some political activity going on between Herod and this other area, Tyre and Sidon, modern-day Lebanon, north of Israel. So they come, they bribe his assistant, they're looking for some favor. So Herod decides to go and speak to them. So on a set day, verse 21, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Almost a footnote to the story. Almost Luke saying, oh, and by the way, remember Herod? Here's how he finished up. He thought he could fight God. He thought he could prosper. He thought that his political power was stronger than the power of God. And then when given opportunity to be a god himself, oh, he pridefully just took in the adulation. And God said, that's about enough of this Herod. We've had some other Herods, they're gone. Time for this one to go to. An angel struck him. I wonder if it's the same angel that woke Peter up. Probably like that angel, let me, Lord, let me go get him. We don't know. But we know this, that you can't fight God and prosper. And listen, we live in a time when the spirit of the age, the culture of our generation, is fighting God, shaking their fist at God. We will not submit to the Creator. We will not acknowledge Him as Creator. We will not be thankful. We will not give Him glory. We will do what we want. We will have our own glory. And so we live in a time where this is prevalent. And by all practical means, by any observation in the natural, church, we would have to say, we are really the underdogs. We are really outgunned, outfinanced, outmanned. All of the political powers of our day seem to be closing in. Even in this country, we see the government and the powers of our time closing in on the church. I pray for our country. I hope that you pray. And I do pray that the Lord will be merciful. But listen, my confidence is not in winning the political debate. My confidence is in the God who is in control of it all. And my citizenship, I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of the United States, and I'm a citizen of another country who doesn't have a president. It has a king. As we live in this time, you know, again, I just think of this little band of prayer warriors at Mary's house. They must have been feeling just so overwhelmed in light of what had just happened to James. And now Peter, we know he's next. Herod is getting such political traction out of this, you know he's going to kill him. And it seems like they are completely overrun, but they're praying. And I just want to say to you and I, my own heart as well, Lord, I don't know what you'll do in every circumstance, but I'm not going to be intimidated by what the devil does. And I'm not going to stop praying and believing and looking to you until you come. Because one day you are coming. And you will put down all rebellion. And you will come for a bride that is spotless and blameless. And I hope praying. I hope praying. I've got just a moment. I want to close with that parable that I mentioned earlier that Jesus spoke in Luke 18. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Jesus telling a story about prayer. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And in contrast, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them, though he tarries, though the answer is not instant, though it seems as though God is not listening? Shall he not one day avenge? Is he not listening? Of course he is. You're his child. He's listening. He may be tarrying for his own divine purpose, and all of it for your good, for my good, for his kingdom, for his glory. God knows what he's doing. God knows what prayers need immediate answer and what prayers need to be on pause while you cry out and earnestly reach for him. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And in the context of eternity, your answered prayers are going to seem like instant, no matter how long you tarried. Nevertheless, and this is the question I close with today, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is encouraging us that men ought to pray and not lose heart, because when I come, I hope to find faith. I hope I come for a praying church. I hope I come for a church that is communing and expecting and looking and waiting for me. Will I find it? It's a question. Knowing that there is a tendency to lose heart in prayer, to give up. Some of you have given up. Some of you have been so long, you're praying, but it's become rote and not really earnest anymore. Don't give up on the Lord. Keep crying out day and night to him. Jesus said, I assure you, he will come. He will avenge. He will answer all the questions of your heart. And he will do it speedily, because when he comes, you know, instantly, so much will be answered. So much will be understood. And it will seem so quick that God delivered us.
You've been listening to Word of Life with Pastor Richard Shork. Pastor Richard has more to share with you from the book of Acts next time, but for today, our time has come to an end. If you missed any part of this teaching or would like to explore other teachings from Pastor Richard, visit our website at ccmonrovia.org. Once you're there, you'll find these messages under the Sermons tab. We also invite you to subscribe to the Word of Life podcast. Just search for Word of Life on your favorite podcast app. When you subscribe, you'll be notified each time we make a new edition available to you. If you're on social media, we enjoy interacting with you on Facebook and Instagram. You'll find us by searching for Calvary Chapel of Monrovia or by clicking the links at the bottom of the page at ccmonrovia.org. If you have any questions about what you heard today or about Word of Life Ministry, or maybe want to share a prayer request, please feel free to email us at info@ccmonrovia.org. You can also call us at 626-359-5116. That's 626-359-5116. If you're in the Monrovia area, we'd love to meet you. Calvary Chapel of Monrovia meets each Sunday and Wednesday for a time of worship and digging deeper into God's Word. We'd be honored to share that time with you. Just visit ccmonrovia.org for service times, directions, and all the details you need. Thanks so much for joining Pastor Richard today on Word of Life.